According to our next guest, the world is out of balance. With increasing frequency, we are presented with the inescapable truth that systemic racism and colonial structures are foundational principles to our economies. The $1 trillion philanthropic industry is one example of a system that mirrors oppressive colonial behavior. In his new book, Decolonizing Wealth, Edgar Villanueva looks past philanthropy's glamorous altruistic facade and into what he says are the shadows, white supremacy, savior complexes, and internalized oppression. Edgar Villanueva is the founder and principal of the Decolonizing Wealth Project and Liberated Capital. The new book is Decolonizing Wealth, and it's a pleasure to welcome Edgar Villanueva to the roundtable this morning. Edgar, thank you very much for being with us.
It's an honor. Thanks for having me.
This is the second edition of this book. It has been revised and expanded. Give us a sense of what you wanted to add to it.
The world has changed so much since the first edition of the book came out in 2018. I felt like now more than ever we need more healing in the world. I've also been really inspired by so many organizations, companies, corporations that have taken my words to heart and implemented so many changes in their organizations. I wanted to share examples that would inspire all of us to take steps toward healing.
What got you on this subject initially?
It very much was personal experience. At a young age of 28, I entered the sector of philanthropy, started working at a foundation, and coming from a family that did not have wealth, being Native American, having a very different worldview and approach to thinking about community and money, I found myself being sort of this rare phenomenon working in this very privileged space. And through the years, I just sort of collected stories of like, wow, I don't think people would really believe some of the things that I'm seeing and experiencing inside the sector. And so I took note and collected stories of my own and began to collect stories from the experiences of other people and felt like I had something to offer to contribute to pushing the sector of philanthropy forward. And so it's a sector that has $1 trillion in assets. And so there's a lot of money at stake. It's a very powerful sector that influences culture, policy. And, so I thought it was very important that folks know what's happening, what's going on in the space, and offer my contributions and worldview toward improving it.
So let's begin with a definitional question, and that is how you define decolonization.
In order to understand decolonization, it's quite a word. I think it's really important first to understand colonization because, of course, decolonization is the process of undoing colonization. And colonization is a force that is very violent, that shows up in ways that are, seen and unseen. I think of it as a virus that touched the shores of this country starting 500 years ago, and it's all about separating and dividing, controlling, conquering, and the hoarding of resources. And it's sort of this mindset that has permeated every aspect of our society. And so when we think about decolonization, it's really, assessing how can we understand the harm that has happened because of colonization and undo that? How can we repair that and think about healing that trauma that has impacted all of us?
So let's also talk about the ailing of philanthropy, and you touched on this, but I'd like to go a little bit further of what the problem is at its core. You talk about colonialism being the real issue. So tell us a little bit about that, of why that is the issue and how it became the issue.
The colonial dynamics that I described of controlling, dividing, creating this gap between the haves and have-nots. Philanthropy, although on the surface, it doesn't seem like that would be likely, but philanthropy has actually contributed to that. When we think, when we look a little closer at what's going on in philanthropy, we have to understand that we're talking about a lot of money that folks got tax breaks for, right? So wealthy folks, corporations get a major, there's a major tax incentive to give this money. And that in itself is not a bad thing. Philanthropy is giving and sharing is a wonderful thing. But first we have this significant tax break. These are dollars that would have gone into the public system to support public education and healthcare and transportation and all of those types of things. Yet we have a system in the U.S. that's unlike any other country where folks can put money into a foundation or a charitable donor advice fund vehicle, and then single folks, billionaires, millionaires, have the opportunity to deeply influence our public systems. So one example might be that a billionaire can say, I think the public schools should operate in this way versus, what the public or through our democratic system of voting and electing school board members or whatever might decide. And one person can deeply, deeply, deeply influence how our system of education works by putting money and giving grants to influence those changes. And so we have to just, really analyze the ways that philanthropy can be, in opposition to our democratic system.
Edgar Villanueva is our guest on the roundtable this morning, and we're talking about the new book, Decolonizing Wealth, Indigenous Wisdom to Heal Divides and Restore Balance, the second edition of that book. Let us talk for a moment about the field of philanthropy when it comes to how they've tackled the issue of diversity. How are they doing on that?
We're not doing very well as a sector. There's progress, but this is a sector that has spent millions and millions of dollars on diversity initiatives, and yet we're not seeing quite the progress that we should be seeing. One of the problems is actually very systemic and related to our history. When you think about U.S. history and how and who has been in the position to generate wealth in this country in the first place, there's been very intentional policies that have provided accumulated benefits for white people in this country. So by far, white people have the most opportunities to even start foundations or to have the money in the first place to be philanthropists. And as a result of that, what we see is that we have the boards of foundations are more than 92% white. We see that more than 90% of the leadership of foundations are white. And through human nature, we tend to network and give money to people who are in our circle, who look like us. And so the vast majority of giving then from those foundations also goes to large white-led institutions. In fact, only about 8% of giving from foundations go to organizations led by people of color working in communities of color. So we have a major diversity crisis in this sector.
I was floored by that percentage in the book. How do you explain the disconnect?
I think that it's really human nature. I think, even in my own life, right, if I say we're going to buy Girl Scout cookies, right, I'm much more likely to buy Girl Scout cookies from, a girl that lives in my apartment building that I see in the neighborhood, maybe I know her family, versus driving across town buying the Girl Scout cookies from someone I don't know and I haven't networked with before. So that's really the disconnect. And it's also because we just, as a sector, have very little accountability and transparency. Most folks listening may not even, when you hear the word philanthropy or you think about the charitable sector, you may think about the American Red Cross, or maybe you've heard of some of these large foundations like the MacArthur Foundation. But in general, this is a sector that operates in the shadows, and there's a lot of money happening, and there's just very little expectations or requirements from the federal government on how these organizations operate. So there's, when there's no accountability, then the change doesn't happen at the pace that it should be.
So if we move away from philanthropy, what should we be moving toward?
I think that I don't think that we should move away from philanthropy per se. Philanthropy, in its essence, is a really beautiful thing. But I think we have to move away from the idea of, well, let me, as a philanthropist or a person, donate some dollars to some folks who are less well off on the other side of the tracks, on the other side of town. But think about how can we actually move toward a mindset that we're all in this thing called life together? How can we get in deeper relationship and think about, more redistribution of wealth? And what are the policies and the systems at play that led to the inequalities that we have now, right? So obviously, I think that we should be providing food, for people who don't have food and shelter and those types of things. But we have the resources and the potential to think about, well, how can we actually change this system? How can we change policies so that we don't have the inequalities that exist? So that's where we need to see more of the philanthropic resources going out to community, actually going to the front lines to folks who come from those communities, who deeply understand the problems and have the perspective and wisdom needed to fix it. And so I think we need to prioritize supporting people of color and people from, who are deeply impacted by the problems versus a 1%, for example, that are making these decisions and designing solutions in ivory towers.
Edgar Villanueva is with us this morning, and the name of the new book is Decolonizing Wealth, Indigenous Wisdom to Heal Divides and Restore Balance. The book has just come out in its second edition. It's published by BK Publishers. Edgar, I thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, Decolonizing Wealth. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.